My name is Karen Howe. The title of this presentation is The Food Connection. It is the third part of a four-part series on health and faith. We are always awaiting the new magical pill that will enable us to eat all the fattening foods we want and not gain weight, burn all the gasoline we want and not pollute the air, live as immoderately as we choose and not contract either cancer or heart disease. In our minds, at least, technology is always on the verge of liberating us from personal discipline and responsibility, only it never does and it never will work. That was taken from Megatrends by John Nesbitt, and it fits into what we will be talking about today. The American diet is sweet and salty fat. Our American diet consists of 45% fat, 23% sugar, refined sugar, and 5% alcohol. We're trying to get 100% nutrition in the remaining third calories. What that means is we are either consuming too many calories to get all the nutrients that we need, or we're not getting all the nutrients that we need. Let me show you some slides to create an awareness of just what Americans are consuming and consequences of what those consequences of those choices. Okay. Children are not getting the recommended amounts of the following nutrients: vitamins A and C, calcium, and iron. And the other one, and it also, their diet, children's diets are low in fiber. And parents that are feeding those children, their diets are low in the same things. Approximately 40% of Americans skip breakfast. And there's, and that's, we know that many children skip breakfast. And if you look at that statistic, one out of three are overweight. Children, I'm talking about children right now, and I think adults, I think there are even more adults that skip breakfast. Americans are consuming an average of 125 pounds of sugar. Some people are not consuming that much, some are consuming more. Which means there was one figure that the average was up to 250 pounds of sugar, which I find unbelievably high, but it's possible some people are consuming that much sugar. Over 35 gallons of soft drinks are consumed per year by the average person. That relates to 373 12-ounce cans per person per year.
Would that be adults or children?
Adults. Mm-hmm. Many Americans are hooked on salt. 10 to 30 times the estimated safe and adequate intake of sodium is consumed by both adults and children. Many Americans are hooked on fat. In fact, 45% to 55% of our calories are from fat. Where are they coming from? French fries, donuts, pastries, ding-dongs, Twinkies, fried foods, and other high-fat, high-sugared foods that are being consumed in record numbers. 80% of the snack food sales are to youth 18 years old and younger. And this has created a billion-dollar food industry. And the thing is, the 80% are sold to youth, and youth, as they get older, are still consuming those foods. America's nutritional problems have occurred because of changes in our lifestyles that do not include concern about nutrition. Much misinformation has been communicated via family, friends, and the media. Giant corporations spend billions of dollars promoting high-fat, high-sugar, low-nutrition foods through sophisticated advertising techniques that incorporate slogans such as Coke is the real thing and get the Pepsi spirit, be a pepper, Coke is it. Our children are literally being brainwashed by the media. And I find sometimes I'm brainwashed by the media. I know when those McDonald's commercials come on TV and that's the advertising is so good, that makes me want to go out and get a McDonald's hamburger. And not that McDonald's hamburgers are bad. They're fine if they're not consumed every day. But what the media is doing and telling people to be in with it, to be happy, you need to consume these foods. Our healthy role models and well-known personalities and exciting cartoon characters continuously sell food to a highly impressionable audience. And this is in case we're talking about children, mostly. According to a recent government study, the average child watches 28 hours of TV per week, viewing over 20,000 commercials a year, 250,000 commercials by the time they're 16 years old, and half of those commercials are for food that are high in sugar or fat. Overeating is a problem for millions of Americans. Many of us have heard the familiar phrase, finish all your food, because people are starving in China, Vietnam, Bangladesh, and nowadays America. We're often given too large of portions. And how many of you are part of the Clean Plate Club as you were growing up? Okay. I was, and I think what that has taught us that we learn to ignore the body signals that say, I've had enough. Another common mistake is not taking enough time for breakfast. The 60% of Americans who eat breakfast take only 5 minutes to consume it, and often only grab a quick bite consisting of a donut, sweet roll, or other pastry. Skipping or eating an inadequate breakfast allows a drop in blood sugar at mid-morning, resulting in lower energy levels and lower mental and physical performance. The consumption of too much sugar may cause major nutritional problems, especially when high sugar foods replace foods that supply iron, calcium, and vitamins. And parents have encouraged poor eating habits by rewarding children with sweets for being good. And that, again, we're giving people a lot of sugar in place of the nutrients that we do need. A child of 5 knows that too much sugar can cause tooth decay. It's easy to regulate. And the reason I'm showing this, it's easy to regulate the sugar from the sugar bowl. The problem is hidden sugar, the sweeteners that are not recognized because they are in food. Few people realize the amount of sugar in common foods. How many of you have seen the big gulp, 32-ounce big gulps at 7-Elevens? How many sugar cubes are in that one big gulp? Sugar, we're talking about little sugar cubes. Anybody take a guess?
20?
Higher? Take another guess. We're going up.
At least 30
higher than that.
Oh, gross.
40? 40 higher than that.
Oh, 50?
Close. There are 52 sugar cubes in a big gulp soft drink. And that's, you know, the Coke, that's in there, sugar. But you know how many, you know, that big, and it's hidden sugar, so people are not realizing they're getting as much sugar as they actually are. These are some comparisons here. Now, sugar cubes, you can get 2 sugar cubes per teaspoon of of sugar. But still, 26 teaspoons of sugar in a 32-ounce soft drink is a lot of sugar.
Teaspoon flat or?
Flat. And let's look at apple pie. 24 sugar cubes in a one-sixth piece of pie. Fruit yogurt. Now this is the eight ounces of fruit yogurt, and people see that as a healthy food, and it is a healthy food. But if that's what children are relying on for their source of calcium, and adults, you're getting all their calcium out. There's 16 sugar cubes in every 8 ounce container of fruit yogurt. Ketchup, 1 tablespoon of ketchup, 2 sugar cubes. Glazed donuts. Here we go. 2 glazed donuts, 24 sugar cubes. Chocolate cake is a large piece with icing, 30 sugar cubes. An 8 ounce serving of Jell-O, 18 sugar cubes. 8 ounces of ice cream, 24 sugar cubes. Now, the next item is on cereals. Pre-sweetened breakfast cereals are very high in sugar and sweeteners. Cereals with healthy sounding names such as 100% natural often have sweeteners added. Always read labels carefully. Manufacturers are required by law to list ingredients according to the amount of the ingredient. So the primary ingredient is listed first. Manufacturers have avoided listing sugar first by using a combination of sweeteners in cereals. Watch out for cereals containing 2 or more sweeteners, such as honey, brown sugar, corn syrup, corn sweeteners, glucose, fructose, maltose, sucrose, dextrose, and molasses. And then we all like to look better, feel stronger, stay healthy, and have energy to do the things we want. A leading factor to nutritional problems in America is the lack of information, valid information. Some people think that the 4 food groups include junk, fast, frozen, or spoiled. That's right. I mean, when I get hungry sometimes, and when I have nothing else better to do, it's easy to grab something that's fast. Let's get into what we need in our diet daily of healthy foods. Students and adults need 4 servings of fruits and vegetables daily. A serving is 1 medium carrot, orange, apple, potato, 1/2 cup of broccoli, cooked vegetable, or juice. We got this one back. Students and adults need 4 servings, at least 4 servings of the breads or cereals daily. And you choose foods that are included in this group. You should choose foods that are high in fiber and whole grains. A serving includes a slice of bread, 1/2 cup of rice, or 1/2 cup to 3/4 cup cooked cereal, or 1 ounce of dry cereal. I hope this one said that. Okay, I'm back on track with my milk. When I saw that one, I was concerned they were all going to be that way. 3 servings of milk or foods are recommended for children between 6 and 12 years old. 4 servings are needed by teenagers, lactating women, and pregnant women, and 2 to 3 servings are needed by adults, and 2 servings are needed for children from ages 3 to 6 years old. A serving is 1 cup of milk, about 2 cups of ice cream, 1 cup of yogurt, or 2 ounces of cheese. Students and adults need 2 servings from the meat group daily. A serving is 2 eggs. I realize this is repetitive, but it's just the reason I show these slides right here, it does show healthy choices in these food groups. A serving is 2 eggs or 3 ounces of meat, chicken or fish, or 1 cup of cooked dried beans, or 4 tablespoons of peanut butter. Americans often overeat the meat group foods. Protein is not a problem in America. In fact, the average American could cut their protein consumption by 50% and still meet the protein recommendations. Since most protein foods contain fat, the meat group foods increase fat intake and contributes to overweight. People from developing countries might find that the American diet is shocking. These are just, again, where the current American diet is 45% fat, 23% sugar, 16% protein, and 16% carbohydrates. But if we look over there, what's recommended to be healthy? 30% fat, 10% sugar, 12% protein, and 48% carbohydrates. And when they talk about the carbohydrates, they're talking about the complex carbohydrates, the whole grains, whole grain cereals and breads. If we look at a 3,000 calorie a day diet, Americans will consume daily, and this is an average, and some of you probably don't eat like that. At Holden Village, we certainly don't eat like that. So if we're taking the average of Americans, some people are eating a lot more than that. But if you know how Vaseline looks in those jars. And I used to demonstrate, and because I don't have time to do that, to get through all the information. If you look at a little jar of Vaseline, look how much Vaseline is in one of the little jars. But I think it might be about 8 ounces. But if you look at that and can visualize what the saturated fat looks like and what it's doing to your bloodstream and those arteries, 5.3 ounces of fat daily is a lot. We have, 6.1 ounces of sugar daily. Protein, 4.25 ounces. Carbohydrates, 4.25 ounces. And salt, 1.2 plus.
Is this what we're doing?
No. This is what the American diet is, and it's an unhealthy amount. Thank you for bringing that question up. Too much fat in our diet is a problem that is common to many, many people. It's recommended that we reduce the consumption of fat by 50%. But how? The first step is awareness. If we look at this number, the amount of fat in various foods, and we can realize that we do have a choice of what we eat and what we do put into our mouths. Pecan pie, the serving size is 1/6 of a 9-inch pie, 6.5 teaspoons of fat. 2 glazed donuts, and we're adding this onto the 24 sugar cubes. You have two donuts at 4.5 teaspoons of fat. Now apple pie, 1/6 of a 9-inch pie, 3.5 teaspoons of fat. And I love apple pie. So these are to create awareness to show that too much may be hurting your health. But if you have something like that as a real treat, enjoy it. But we look down at the ice cream. The differences in those numbers, that we can choose a different kind of ice cream if we're concerned about our fat intake. Premium ice cream,
5 teaspoons of fat, regular ice cream, 3 teaspoons of fat, and ice milk, 1 teaspoon. Premium is the stuff that costs the most money also. And it's the stuff that's supposed to have the most flavor. But you can make a choice there on your desserts. You don't have to give up desserts if you like desserts after dinner. Chocolate chip cookies, 4 of them, 2.5 teaspoons of fat. Yellow layer cake with chocolate frosting, 2.5 teaspoons of fat. Potato chips, 40 chips. And whoever counts how many chips that they eat when they eat potato chips, 6.5 teaspoons of fat. French fries, a large order, 3.5 teaspoons of fat. The milk group, we go from eggnog with 4 teaspoons of fat, cheddar cheese, 1.5 ounces, 2 teaspoons of fat, milk with 8-ounce servings. We go from whole milk with 1.5 teaspoons of fat, 1% milk, 1/2 teaspoon of fat, to skim milk, which is 1/4 teaspoon of fat. We take another interesting thing about milk. You can have 2 glasses of skim milk for the same amount of calories as 1 glass of whole milk contains. So you're getting double the calcium.
So the calcium level
is the same. Mm-hmm. Same level. The meat group. 4 ounces of bologna. And this, in the meat group, we're looking at for the amount of protein, that comparable amounts of protein. Bologna, 4 ounces, is 6.5 teaspoons of fat. A hot dog. You know, and hot dogs aren't very big. And so if you're lining up 5 teaspoons of fat with that hot dog, you know, you're not getting a whole lot of protein. And the figure on most hot dogs is 98% fat, 2% protein on some hot dogs. Bacon, 3 slices, 5 teaspoons of fat. Peanut butter, 3 tablespoons, 5 teaspoons of fat. I am not sure about the peanut butter up here at Holden Village, since they ground, since they make it themselves. I don't know if it have that high fat content.
Yes.
Is it? And so I'm not sure.
Basically, the ground peanuts is not added salt and sugar.
Yeah.
So it's probably just the salt.
Yeah, it might be just the salt. Okay, thank you. Eggs, 2 large, 2.5 teaspoons of fat. Turkey, 2 ounces, 1/2 teaspoon. And shrimp, 3 ounces, has 1/4 teaspoon of fat. Shrimp is a good source of protein. One of the reasons for a high consumption of sugar and fat are fast foods. 30-40% of our meals are eaten away from home. Meals consumed at fast food restaurants are often high in protein and fat, low in calcium, vitamin A and C, and fiber. Americans, the average fast food meal of a burger, chicken, fish, or roast beef sandwich, fries, and shake contains 10-12 teaspoons of fat. And that means, if you look at those numbers, Big Mac, fries, and shake has 1,100 calories and 10 teaspoons of fat. Pizza Hut, I'm not going to go over all these, but Pizza Hut, 10-inch pizza, cola, and shake, they have 12, and it gives 2 different numbers there, but it has 1,200 calories in the pizza, and with the shake, it's 9 teaspoons of fat. With the milkshake, it would be even higher. Kentucky Fried Chicken, 3 pieces, roll, fries, shake, 1,300 calories, and there's 11-12 teaspoons of fat. Let's go down. 3 pieces of fried fish, fries, and shake. Before I heard of this, I used to always think, well, if I'm going to a restaurant, I might as well order fish. At least I'm getting something healthier. You look, not only with my 3 pieces of fried fish, I'm eating more calories, but it also has 10 teaspoons of fat in it. Fast food restaurant, out of a 2,400 calorie diet, the fast food meal equals 50% of the calories, and it provides 20% of the nutrients. What that means is, in our other meals that we eat, two other meals that we eat during the day, we have only 50% of our calories, but we need to get 80% of our nutrients out of those 50% calories. The result is not enough vitamins and minerals and too many calories. The solution, many fast food restaurants now, and restaurants are because of health conscious people, and that people have stated to restaurants, hey, we want some healthy food. The fast food restaurants are starting to offer salad bars. Mexican food is a good choice. The selections are lower in calories than most fast foods, and they're often high in iron. If you eat chicken or fish, remove the skin. Limit consumption of shakes and desserts. Many shakes do not contain much milk and so contain little calcium. Pizza is a good food if eaten in moderation. Buy milk instead of pop. And if you dare, even ask for water.
What do you mean by moderation?
Pizza, if you sit down to... Everyone, if you go eat pizza, you know, if you eat pizza every night and you eat the cold pizza for breakfast, not healthy. If you eat it once a week, great, you know, a serving of pizza. But if you eat a whole pizza, okay? And if you're going, if pizza is your only selection for that meal, if you can add like a salad with it, or some fruit, vegetables.
So it's 13 in one salad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whose skin are you supposed to remove that?
Oh. The skin of chicken and fish. Okay, it's not safe to consume less than 1,000 calories per day unless under a doctor's supervision. People who stay on crash diets will lose weight. However, 25% of the resulting 25% of the resulting tissue loss is muscle. This can weaken our bodies. And a dramatic example of this was Karen Carpenter, who died from anorexia nervosa. And what had happened in an effort to lose weight, to look thin, she had denied herself food over a long period of time. And this weakened her heart muscle to the point where it could no longer sustain her life. One solution for possibly the overweight child is to turn off the TV, computer, and get some exercise. I'm going on to that. Oh, I'm on my... I left two slides in there, I didn't want it. Okay, that is the TV. Be sure that a child or adult continuously 30 minutes of exercise daily. I don't know if this is the kind of exercise you want. I don't know how I even got that slide in there. I thought I pulled that one out, and I'm sorry for doing that. There was one other one I thought I had put in there. We need to limit foods that are high in fats and sugars. It's important to know the caloric content of food and the caloric needs of men and women. Protein and carbohydrates, including sugar, contain about 110 calories per ounce. Pure fat contains over twice the number of calories at about 250 calories per ounce. The caloric needs of men, of women, are 1,800 calories to 2,400 calories per day. Teenage women, 2,300 calories to 2,900 calories daily. Those do vary depending on activity level and size of the person. Men 2,200 calories to 2,900 calories. Teenage men, 2,600 to 3,200 calories. Now, if in order to lose 1 pound, a person must reduce their caloric intake or increase their activity level so that 3,500 food calories are either not consumed or are burned up. A combination of lower caloric intake and increased activity is the best way to lose weight. It's important not to lose more than 2 pounds of weight per week unless under a doctor's care. For overweight children, the object of weight control program is to maintain their current weight, not to lose weight. If a child's weight remains stable, the child's growth in height will bring the height to weight ratio into the normal range. I need to put that in there because sometimes we think that we need to put children on diets, and I don't think we should do that. But adults can restrict their caloric and go on diets, and they sometimes need help doing that. And it's best if people are going to seek any kind of special diet is to seek out help of a registered dietitian registered dietitian or nutritionist or an expert in that field. Food energy. I have a chart that I want to hand out to you. These are just food energy and activity levels to burn off certain calories. So you may want to think before you put certain foods in your mouth. If you eat two ding-dongs, equate it with maybe chocolate cupcakes or whatever. You have 340 calories. It takes 97 minutes of biking, 79 minutes of walking, 4 minutes of swimming to burn off just two ding-dongs. How long does it take to eat them? 1 minute. And you're going to have to do all this work to get rid of it. Doesn't make sense. But look, you can get an apple. And you're getting nutrition from apples, and the calories are 80, and it only takes 22 minutes of biking, 18 minutes of walking, or 9 minutes of swimming. But you do have a choice. Look at this, 40 potato chips, 460 calories, and to burn it off, 131 minutes of biking, 106 minutes of walking, 52 minutes of swimming. Or you could choose an English muffin with 1 tablespoon of jelly, 150 calories. To burn that off, you'd have to bike 42 minutes, walking 35 minutes, and swimming 17 minutes.
You meant or.
Huh?
You meant or on those, not and.
Or?
I mean, you don't have to go all
through
the activities.
Or.
Sounds like a triathlon.
No, it's or. I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying that. That's right. You just have to choose one. You don't have to do them all. Oh, okay. One way to limit the food consumption is to equate exercise with the numbers of calories. Poor eating habits are linked with numerous diseases and health disorders. The newest research is the link with nutrition and cancer. A recent survey by Oregon State University has isolated dietary influences in cancer. The following conditions influence the development of cancer: overweight, high fat diet, low fiber, overconsumption of nitrates and saccharin. Although there's not a cause and effect relationship proven, intakes of certain dietary products have been associated with the following forms of cancer. Breast cancer is linked to high fat intake in the diet. Colon cancer is linked to high fat, low fiber. Cancer of the uterus is linked to being overweight, and cancer of the mouth and throat, smoking, and too much alcohol. Yeah, and a person can reduce the risks by exercise, limit fat, alcohol in moderation, eat lots of fiber, and watch nitrates and saccharin consumption. The other things, could I have someone turn off the
Karen? How
yes.
do you define number three, alcohol in moderation?
Okay, I'd say one glass, like one glass of wine a night. Some people even find that two glasses, and maybe someone can even build on this, 1 to 2 glasses of wine a day actually makes the HDL, high-density lipoprotein, even go up. In some ways, it even helps people. And then there's other health risk surveys that say if you drink more, 2 glasses of an alcoholic beverage a week or more, you're contributing to your not so good health. Have you found that?
Yeah. What are good sources of fiber?
Okay. Fruits, fresh fruits and vegetables, and whole grains. This one.
The only thing on the alcohol, there's that question, really probably better to say abstain. You know, I mean, all of us like a glass of wine or a bottle of beer or a drink. But, you know, in that kind of situation, I imagine when it comes to a purely nutrition standpoint or health standpoint, it would be better to say probably none at all and use some other
Yeah. There was one study, when you say within in moderation, they usually are referring to people that can handle it as no more than 2 glasses per day. Yes?
What's the newest information or what information do you have with New York City and what are you doing with that?
It's still controversial. I am not a registered dietitian. So I can go back up and look in my research in some of my information on that. So far, everything that I've heard, it's okay. There's been nothing that it's okay, but it's still controversial. It's probably, if you can avoid it, it would be the best thing to avoid it. But for those people that are diabetic and can't eat any sugar, you know, and again, it's a choice. Yes?
Did you happen to see that report? Was it in U.S. News? The whole report about the connection they've made between alcohol and breast cancer?
I haven't seen that one. I'd be interested in that.
They feel like a real strong.
Vicky, the doctor, I sat with at lunch yesterday, said
there's nothing to it. He said
I think when it comes to alcohol or cigarettes or anything else, as much as I'm a reformed cigarette smoker too, quit maybe 15, 20 years ago, thank God for that. Mm-hmm. But I do enjoy a drink, but I think from a pure health standpoint, it'd be better if you didn't have to touch it, in spite of St. Paul saying a little wine to the stomach. Probably. I think of friends who have an alcohol problem. I just have a little problem with any type of thing that relates to alcohol. I know you've said in moderation, and I think that's what you have to use in this kind of situation. But I'm really, cautious about the doctor say one or the other. I mean, I think a brother or sister who has a problem, I'm just very reluctant to deal any time in that area.
Okay. What there's the other thing that are associated, and we've gone into this in other lectures in the previous two, as far as a high fat diet, what eating high fat problems associated with the American diet are: fat, overweight, obesity, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels are because of our diet. We are fortunate right now, and I would like to move more towards the healthy way of eating. We have Jane with us, and what's your last name, Jane?
Austin.
She's one of the cooks with Holden Village, and she is going to explain the philosophy to us and answer questions about the Holden way of eating. And I've kind of gone in with the American diet and lifestyle to create an awareness of just what people are eating and the causes of it and the health problems that are associated with us. But we have a very positive way of eating here, and I would like her to be able to explain to us a little bit. Can I move you over here so it gets into the tape?
My background is not in nutrition. I'm actually a radio broadcaster.
With the food that you're preparing here is superb.
Oh, good.
Yes.
With the cook here last summer, and then this summer stepped into the head cook's role, so I'll see what questions I can answer. Holden's food has kind of reflected national trends as far as I can tell. If you look back at the menus in the 1960s, you'll find that there was meat three times a day. There was ham for breakfast, cold cuts for lunch, and roast beef for dinner. You'll find that there were desserts every day, if not twice a day, with cookies or cakes. All the bread was shipped in, I think probably from Chelan. And also, there was Kool-Aid on the tables at lunch and dinner, just along with a pitcher of water. So there have been some changes since then. Starting in the, and I would say the late 1970s, there was more of an emphasis on whole foods. That's foods that are less processed, foods that are made from scratch, foods that have fewer preservatives, and therefore we can control the amount of salt and sugar in the foods and the amount of preservatives. More use of lentils and beans and cheese for protein. Like she was saying, Americans get about twice the amount of protein that they need. And so we saw a decrease in the use of red meats and higher use of lentils and legumes and other things like that. More salads, more vegetables and fresh fruit, a bit more varied fare than just the meat and potatoes diet that I grew up on in the Midwest. Less desserts and less sweetened things, more use of honey and molasses and unrefined sugars, as an example, in the bread. You'll find that each summer the kitchen will reflect the tastes of the particular cooks around. There were a couple years we used a lot of tofu, and people here aren't as, that's a soybean curd, that's a good protein source. We haven't used it as much this summer, but anyway. Some of the things we do in the kitchen now, we grind our own wheat. We go through, I would say, about 100 pounds of whole wheat flour and 50 pounds of white flour a day in the bread that we make. So that's, we grind two big bags of wheat that we get from a distributor in Chelan. We make our own bread. It seems to be a favorite of people who come up here. I can eat it for a while. It's not such a treat. Make all our soups. We make all our soups and sauces from scratch. When we have vegetables that we chop up for salads, we save all of the trimmings and we boil them up in some water to make kind of a nutritious broth that is then stored and used for soups. We make our own salad dressings. For a long time we made our own mayonnaise, but it's such a time-consuming process that we haven't done that as much lately. We make our own sprouts that we use in salads and soup and sandwiches. And we make our own yogurt. We make a big batch of yogurt and stick it on the oven every day to let it heat up. We try to mix in some new items, like let's say some pasta with a pesto sauce or a stir-fry vegetable dish with familiar things, like let's say chicken and potato salad and things that people are more accustomed to. And we try to center our meals, instead of centering them around a meat dish, like I said I was raised with, we try to center it around a pasta or vegetables or rice. Like egg noodles with a cheese sauce, or chili with cornbread, or a chef salad with biscuits and sweetbread, or something like that. I think another reason that Holden's food philosophy tended to move away from the standard American fare was, I think, concern over the fact that Americans use such an incredible amount of the world's resources. The average American eats about five times as much grain as the average person in the world. And most of that grain is consumed in the red meats and the milk and the eggs that we eat. Instead of eating the grain like most people in the world do through rice or millet or whatever, we eat the products of that grain, which is the beef, which is a much less efficient use of the grain. So that's another reason that I think Holden tended to move toward a less meat stance, or serving a little bit less meat, relying on other kinds of protein. We try to do what we can in terms of leftovers. You'll notice if you've been here for a while that one noon a week we have a leftover meal that usually tends to get rid of all the stuff we've got in the walk-in for the last week. We use leftovers in our bread. We put in egg whites. We put in cold cooked cereal, most anything we can find in the refrigerator that looks interesting. And also leftover vegetables that we use in soups. As I said, we boil vegetable skins for our soup and use that as a broth. And we do things like grind old dry bread to stretch hamburger, or we use it in croutons. And something that the winter community did this year that we decided to do this summer was to have one evening a week where we eat our fill of a simple meal like rice or baked potatoes, and we take that money and send it to some organization that's working on hunger concerns either on the local level or on the national level. And doesn't solve all the problems, but I think it's a good reminder to us of how blessed we are with the abundance of truth that we've been given. Questions? I'm willing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You say most of your food here is comprised of more of a high carbohydrate, you know, and that you should eat, you know, 48% of your diet should be high carbohydrate. But what if you find that your body can't tolerate high carbohydrate? You fall asleep, your body swells up with fluid. How do you handle that?
Me personally? I mean, in terms of...
No, I do.
Well, I would hope that guests would come to the kitchen with their health concerns. We have people who can't have wheat or dairy. If people have trouble with a high carbohydrate level, we'd love to sit down and talk to you about some of your special diet needs. I haven't heard of that being a problem with anyone that I've been acquainted with in the last two summers, but certainly a possibility.
I also find it seems as though your food is real high in fat, much higher than I'm used to eating.
In terms of use of cheese or?
Use of cheese, the margarine, the salad dressing, a lot of that.
I guess the margarine and salad dressings are things that you can control your use of. In terms
I know, but I mean, it. You know, I guess I realize that most of the time animal products are higher in fat than mayonnaise and dressings, and that there also is a lot in dressing.
Cheese has been a real concern of mine. I think there has been a reliance sometimes in more of a vegetarian diet to try to dose everything up with cheese. And I think that this summer it's something we've been more aware of and serving more fresh vegetables rather than things with sauces. We've used it a bit less. Yeah.
Do the people who come up here and work in the kitchen have backgrounds in nutrition? Is that how they end up here working on that particular aspect? Is there somebody there that really has it?
We do some consulting with nutritionists and with former cooks who are nutritionists. We have one woman in the kitchen this summer, Sharon Gonzalez, who worked as a nutritionist with the Peace Corps for about 3 years. Other than that, it's basic common sense. I wish that we had more resources like that in the kitchen.
Where do you get some of your recipes? This year, I think the food has been the best that it's been.
Since
we have been coming. I mean, the flavoring seems to be really... like somebody tastes it. I a compliment to you.
Thank you. I guess recipes come from a variety of sources. We've been trying a few new things this summer, and sometimes that's up to the cook on that shift and that person's ingenuity. We get a lot of our recipes from things like the Moosewood cookbook. I love the seasonings for soups and salads in there. It's mostly a vegetarian cookbook, and it has some marvelous ideas for a variety in salads and soups, like I said. And we have a few standard recipes, but we basically kind of wing it, depending on our own experience, you know, and the way we were raised to cook and things like that. So.
Well, let me not do my bit now. It's on the thing we haven't talked about very much is the thing that's least before us, so that's the mineral content in our food based on the mineral content of soil. And some organic farmers that also put not only organic materials, but good rock dust, cross-section minerals and trace minerals. When they put that back in the soil, you're going to have far better crops to work with. And now this is not something in the media or in our nutrition stuff here for a long, long time. Back in the late 30s, early 40s, Fearman Bayer, one researcher, published material shows a very great range of minerals in vegetables depending on the soil where they came from. A lot of soils are very badly down. We know farmers who make a point of putting a lot of good rock dust, either some of the Mont Marillonite type things in southern Utah or good river gravels, dust. So some are much better than others, but this is a very basic question. If they're down generally in our society and in the earth as a whole is a global problem, then what are we doing about bringing it back up? So some sources of vegetables may be better, and this is a question you really don't have much take on. You can't ask your farmer and say, well, what's your soil like? And get a lab test on it, let us know. If you don't do that, but still the question is there and deserves attention.
Can I just, I think Jane and I would both be happy to talk to any of you during coffee breaks. I'm up in Chalet 8, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you anytime. And just pull me aside and I can answer your questions. I have some energy equivalent things here. I just wanted to say, you know, in conclusion, our bodies are our most natural resource. An added benefit of being a Christian is our knowledge that our body is God's temple. And it might be time to do a little house cleaning and to make our bodies the temples that they're meant to be.